Welcome to the intersection of faith and the culture. It's Wall Builders. We're taking on the hot topics of the day from a biblical, historical, and constitutional perspective. And today we've got a special interview coming at you from The Tavern. That's my show over at Warrior Poet Society Network and over on Patriot U. And Mark Meckler will be our special guest today. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach and a former Texas legislator, normally here with David and Tim Barton. Tim's a national speaker, pastor, president of Wall Builders. David's, of course, America's premier historian and our founder here at Wall Builders. All three of us, thank you for being listeners and for being people of action, for actually taking these things and doing something with them in your community, taking that biblical perspective, that constitutional knowledge, and that historical just comparison to what works and what doesn't work, taking all of that information and applying that into the issues of your neighborhood, your community, your state, and of course, our nation. So thanks for being a part of that. Check us out today at wallbuilders.com. That's wallbuilders.com. For a wealth of resources available to you there. Let's jump right in. This is Mark Meckler joining me in the Tavern. We're going to be talking about those revolutionary strategies and tactics that it takes to save America, of course, addressing what's going on at the border and so many other issues. Here we go, into the Tavern. Well, welcome back to the Tavern. We got Mark Meckler back with us from ConventionEstates.com. Mark, I want you to know, man, we're about 20 shows into the Tavern. You are the first guest to be invited back. You're the only twofer that we've had. So, hey, man, how about it? You got a mug on you? You got anything to drink here? We get to clank. All right, here's our big... Oh, look at there. Love it. All right. Hey, man, welcome back to the Tavern, buddy.
Cheers, brother.
You know, I figured since we're apparently on the brink of civil war and all that good stuff, you know, international crisis, standoff at the border, the president is, clearly continues to degrade whichever robotic version we have of him now. Anyway... A lot's happened since we were together out at the campus around the fire. That was a great episode,
yeah,
man.
Sure.
We moved the Tavern to the campus just for Mark Meckler. Anyway, love you, man. Thanks for coming back.
Wait, you know, I got to say something about that episode just for folks who saw that.
Yeah.
We had I'm just so impressed with your technical staff because the high-tech lighting rigs that we had to set up to do that stuff
yeah.
at night, it was so awesome. It takes literally thousands of dollars of equipment to light something like that. It's two pickup trucks with their headlights turned on. I mean, we're talking the full yeah. redneck lighting rig.
What was that? There was a golf movie where I think it was The Legend of Bagger Vance, maybe, or maybe it was the, I don't know, one of these golf movies where at the very end, that's what they did. They literally
yeah.
lit the fairway.
The vibe was there. Yeah. We're sitting around the fire, but for Rick and I, we're looking into the grills at two pickup trucks with their headlights on.
Yeah, it was more like I went to undergrad out in West Texas in San Angelo. It was more like, you know, tailgating party after the football game on a Friday night.
Pretty much. That's what it felt like. I know to y'all it looks so professional and kind of romantic. Uh-huh. I don't mean that in that romantic, but, you know, just...
Yeah, after I just got through saying, hey, love you, man, now we got it. I already did a whole episode with Victor Marx joking about how he doesn't look gay. I don't look gay. We had a whole, you know, it was a whole scenario. So let's not go there.
Well, here we were sitting out by the fire under the moonlight, and but we had headlights on us. Yeah, so that's you were looking at us. We were looking into the grills of two pickup trucks.
We were doing Texas Friday Night Lights. That's what we were doing.
All pro. Let's just put it that way.
Man, let's jump in. I think first topic, you know, obviously the border and the whole thing with can the feds cut the wire and at what point does Texas defend the border for the whole country? All of these things, a lot of our viewers are not in Texas. So, you know, you and I are right here in Central Texas. We're 3 hours from the border.
Yep.
We're dealing with this all the time. But the rest of the country is now dealing with it, you know. As you and I have talked about before, not great that we're just, you know, funneling these folks further into the country, but it did make guys like Eric Adams in New York and others feel just a little bit of the pain that we were feeling here in Texas and our friends in Arizona. So just, you know, your thoughts at this point and how all of the border stuff could potentially play into our effort to restore federalism in the country and get governors and states thinking in terms of the feds have certain powers, the states have more power, and theirs are supposed to be few and limited. Here's one of the few that they actually have, but they're not doing. So I'm throwing a lot at you, bro, but just kind of where you think we are as a nation as we're moving into this very hostile season that it looks like it's turning out to be.
So I'm going to start with the broad and we can drop back into the minutia. I think the minutia is super important here. And I think a lot of people are getting it wrong. It's hard to understand exactly what's going on technically and legally, but I want to start in the big picture.
Yeah.
So what's going on here in Texas from a, my judgment about it perspective, what do I think of it? I think it's awesome. I'm super excited about it. I'm really glad it's happening. And I know that sounds a little bit wild, and I don't mean that in an inflammatory way. I think the most important discussion we can have in America is a discussion about who decides. We've talked about this before. What the politicians want us fighting about is not who decides. They want us fighting about what's the issue. Like, should the border be open? Should it not be open? How many people should come across? What should be the criterion? Do we need border reform? Et cetera, on every issue. The underlying premise in all of those fights is always that the decisions will be made in Washington, D.C. And this fight is completely different. This fight is about who gets to decide what happens. And so this is a standoff between the federal government and a state government, two sovereigns, right? We have a federalist system. It's a where we believe in federalism. We're constitutionalists, but we have a republic. We don't have a democracy. And that means you have sovereign states that have certain rights vis-a-vis the federal government. And the fight here is who has the right to protect Texans? Who gets to decide what's safe and secure for Texans? And what we're saying is, while the federal government, we all acknowledge, has the primary responsibility for securing our borders, Texas has the right to protect its own citizens. And the right of self-defense is one of the most, if not the most, fundamental right we have. Somebody comes into your house.
That's right, and called by the founding fathers the first law of nature. So it's not even just a constitutional right. It's literally a natural right that they said was number one.
Right, so we've got people pouring across our border. There's absolutely violence taking place in all these border towns and all across our state. There's human trafficking. There's drug trafficking. By the way, when I say human trafficking, I want to be really clear. Slavery. There's slavery going on. Yeah. Sex slavery, labor slavery. We have more slaves in the United States of America today than we had during the traditional period of slavery in America.
Wow.
And these are incredible numbers. The federal government is allowing that to happen. When I say drug trafficking, let me redefine that. Murder. These people are murdering. Now, the last number I saw for last year is over 100,000 people in the United States of America died of fentanyl or related poisoning last year. This is murder. The reason I say it's murder, and I'm not being hyperbolic, is because these people know that these drugs kill people.
Yeah.
They know that 70 to 100,000 people are going to die every year, and they still bring those drugs in and they still sell them. So that's intentional. That's murder.
That's staggering, man.
So what we have is people being murdered on a mass scale. We have our border being crossed on a mass scale by people who intend us harm, by criminals, all that stuff going on. We have the right to defend ourselves. It is, as you said, the first law of nature. So I think this fight saying like, hey, do the states have this right or do the states not have this right? Put aside all the legal nuance. I think it's the right fight. It's about who gets to decide.
Yeah, man. You know, our mutual friend, legislator from Utah, Ken Ivory, always says, if government, so should government be involved at all? But if government, which one? Which is the same way of saying who decides, or which level of government in this case, if it is going to be government, instead of you and me or the church or whatever it might be. In this case, it is a government role. And the question is, which one? And in this case, the one that's supposed to do it's not doing it. Can the state do it? Absolutely. Mark, you had a massive rally at the Capitol. What was that? 7, 8, 9, 10 months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
And you said how many more? I mean, that was essentially the question, was how many more kids got to die? How many more people got to die? How many more kids got to go into? What is it going to take? I mean, this seems to be an inflection point where there is more of a wake up. There's more attention on it. It's almost salacious, though. It's like people want the fight between feds and state. So that's more what they're paying attention to than the damage that's been done with the open border. But at least it is getting attention. Do you feel a difference from 9 or 10 months ago to right now?
Yeah, I feel a big difference. I mean, I think one is general public opinion has shifted pretty dramatically.
Yeah.
When you look at the polling right now, I just had a new poll I just saw got released to me early. Number one issue among the American public, immigration, border security. That's 1 and 2.
Wow.
I mean, so that's incredible.
Wow. And I saw one last week when this all first came down, like 70%. Supporting what Governor Abbott, maybe 60, maybe it was 69, but it was right at 70%.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge.
Another stat, the number one issue among Hispanics, this is the most important issue for Hispanics, it's not the most important issue for whites. I mean, this is incredible juxtaposition. It's high for whites, but Hispanics, it's their number one issue, period.
Wow.
And so all of America seems to be coming around this issue, because if you look at it, you just, how do you say anything else?
That's right.
And the images are incredible. The numbers are astounding. And so I think one is just public perception. Two, and I think this is really interesting, and I want to be nuanced here. You and I always try to say, you know, we want to do actual thinking man's politics. I was not happy with what Governor Abbott had done in the past. Not enough, in my opinion.
Me either.
And, and one of my great frustrations that I'm now feeling a little bit better about is, you know, Governor Abbott and other members of our legislature, including people that I really admire and like, Ken Paxton, Lieutenant Governor, said, yeah, hey, we're doing everything we can. Right? Well, this is really interesting to me, Rick, because they're doing more now. I mean, that's call me simple. They said, we're doing everything we can, and now they're doing more.
Right.
One of those things was not true.
Right? Can't be true. Right.
And so, look, I want to give kudos to the governor for stepping up and for really stepping into the breach here and ordering DPS in and our State Guard and our National Guard. I'm really glad that's being done. Kudos to Lieutenant Governor Patrick for showing up at Shelby Park. He showed up at 1 o'clock at the deadline, kind of rolled in gangster style in the black cars. I thought that was pretty awesome. Made an awesome statement to the federal government, right? I wish the cars had big come and take it signs on the side.
Exactly. Or come and cut it.
Really good. I like the imagery. You've got Ken Paxton issues a letter, not just saying, hey, we're not going to listen to you guys, but making 8 demands. Like, here's the things you got to prove to us before we're even going to listen to y'all. Like, you say you own this property, show us the plat maps, show us the chain of title whereby you got possession of this property.
Out the specific statutes that they're not following and not, you know, where they,
So I thought they all really bold. So I'm happy with what they're doing, but I would also say, like, where were they? Like, when they were saying they couldn't do all this stuff.
That's right.
Look, there's a guy I really love in the legislature. I'm going to name him by name, and he's a good friend of mine, but Brian Birdwell, Senator Birdwell, great proponent of border security and a warrior on COS. But, you know, he and I had some pretty serious discussions, and he said point blank, we're doing all we can. That was, you know, 7, 8, 9 months ago. Now they're doing more. So I think circumstances force people to step up. And now we're seeing people step up and doing some of the things that they should. So overall, I'm glad what we're doing. I want people to understand there's razor wire that's being put up on under 2 miles of border.
Right. And we've got how many? 1,400?
I think it's 1,300 miles of border, I think we have in Texas. So it's a tiny fraction. I want to say, to credit to the governor, like, a lot of people are like, well, the whole border's not secure. One, patience. Two, I think what they're doing, this is just my guess, is that they're testing stuff. And I think it's important. You really want to go lay 1,300 miles of razor wire, whatever they would have to lay to secure the border. Obviously, some of it doesn't need this, but you really want to lay all that razor wire. And then the Supreme Court says you got to take it all down. That doesn't make any sense. So I think right now Abbott and Paxton are acting incrementally. Do something. See how the courts react. See if it sticks. If it sticks, do more of it. If it doesn't stick, do something else. I think that's the right approach to border security right now. So I think we're seeing improvements. I'm happy with the trajectory, but it's nowhere near enough yet.
All right, folks, got to take a quick break. What you're hearing right now is my conversation with Mark Meckler in the Tavern. If you'd like to get the entire interview, it's available right now at patriotacademy.tv. That's patriotacademy.tv, where we house Patriot U. Lots of other things there for you as well, but check that out today for the full interview. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back on Wall Builders. Have you noticed the vacuum of leadership in America? We're looking around for leaders of principle to step up, and too often, no one is there. God is raising up a generation of young leaders with a passion for impacting the world around them. They're crying out for the mentorship and leadership training they need. Patriot Academy was created to meet that need. Patriot Academy graduates now serve in state capitals around America, in the halls of Congress, in business, in the film industry, in the pulpit, in every area of the culture. They're leading effectively and impacting the world around them.
Patriot Academy is now expanding across the nation, and now's your chance to experience this life-changing week that trains champions to change the world. Visit PatriotAcademy.com for dates and locations. Our core program is still for young leaders, 16 to 25 years old, but we also now have a citizen track for adults. So visit the website today to learn more. Help us fill the void of leadership in America. Join us in training champions to change the world at PatriotAcademy.com.
We're back here at Wobblers. Thanks for staying with us. We're going to jump right back into the tavern and my interview with Mark Meckler, talking about the border, talking about things that were going on there in the last couple of weeks and where this all may go. If you want to see the entire interview, you can check that out over at Warrior Poets Society Network or at Patriot U, and you'll find Patriot U at patriotacademy.tv. Here we are back in the tavern with Mark Meckler. So many things I want to ask you about that you just said. Okay, help me. I got to make sure. I want to come back to what more can we do? Because I think even if they say we're doing everything we can now, there's still a whole lot more they can do. And we'll maybe talk about some of what Russ Vaught and some of these other guys are saying, should have been done a long time ago. But then let me back up, though, first to even just the Hispanic polling and the fact that they are more interested in this than anybody. And to me, it's because you've got people that I've got friends that are first generation Americans or second generation Americans that stood and did the line, went through the proper channels, got their citizenship, all of those things. And I can imagine why it would be more important to them and they're more passionate about it than people who were born here and this white guilt stuff and white liberals that just have no common sense whatsoever. I mean, this would be like going to you got tickets to the Super Bowl. If you're unfortunate enough to be a San Francisco fan or a Kansas City fan, either way, you buy your ticket. You spend like $5,000 for your two tickets to go to the game. You show up at the stadium, and the stadium's packed out already, and it's all people that got in for free, broke the lines to get in, and they say, sorry, you don't get to enjoy your seat because this person, and they didn't even pay. That's essentially what we're talking about here.
Right.
That's what's happening for the. So is that what you think is driving it? Is it culture? I mean, what do you think is behind that part?
I think that's part of it. But I think it's also having more of an impact in Hispanic communities than anywhere else.
Especially
go to these communities on the border, and frankly, anywhere all over the country, you have a lot of first generation immigrants who came here legally, a lot of them working entry level jobs, and then you have illegal immigrants coming in taking away those jobs. So that's number one. Like, you've got people here legally, they need the work, and it's being taken away by people who are coming here illegally. Number two, they're depressing wages, generally speaking. Even if you can keep a job, if there's a bunch of folks here illegally, a lot of them will take lower paying jobs. And they're outside the system, quote unquote. They're being paid cash, not necessarily paying taxes. That depresses wages in those communities. And then I would say, finally, there's a lot of crime coming with this. And that crime is particularly targeted in those communities. You got MS-13 pouring across the border, the cartels pouring across the border. All this criminal influence is having a very negative impact in those communities. So they're paying the highest price. The people who pay the price are the people who are going to stand up and say, this has got to stop.
Okay, so you mentioned the wages. So I got to veer off on another topic here then. Was on a show recently with our friend Floyd Brown from Western Journal, and he was talking about, and very, very frustrated and upset with our Republican friends who do not take this issue, or actually they want the open borders. Not just that they don't take it seriously, they want the open border for those depressed wages, especially big, big business. How much of a factor is that in causing, first of all, Abbott not to do enough up until now, starting to do more, but also just, both federal and state politics in general, not closing the border or securing the border, because even those on the Republican side benefit from the open border?
Yeah, I think that's true. And it's been true for a long time. It's what you would call the Chamber of Commerce Republicans. The one that I hear the most, and, I come from California originally. That's one of the breadbaskets.
Oh, that's it. This interview's over.
Come on, man. I was smart enough to move to Texas. It's one of the breadbaskets of America, the Central Valley there of California. And I hear this all the time. Well, we can't find Americans to pick our lettuce. Well, number one, thanks for letting me know you're a racist. Like, I appreciate knowing you're a straight up, open, admitted racist. Because if you say that, it's like, oh, I get it. So we need essentially slave labor, brown people from Central and South America to pick our agricultural products for us. That's how our economy is based on slave labor, is essentially what you're saying.
Ouch.
And what I say, and this is not popular, Rick, and I understand this, we should pay Americans whatever it costs to pick our labor. That's called a market economy, and our to pick our produce. And what that means is you and I and everybody, we're going to pay a lot more.
Pays more for food.
And and it's harsh, and the economy would have to rejigger and adjust to that. But if it costs us $15 an hour, $18 an hour for somebody to be out in the fields picking lettuce, then that's what we need to pay. We shouldn't be relying on devalued slave labor from Mexico or Guatemala or Ecuador or wherever to pick those products, or to be nannies for the kids, or to clean houses. We should pay the wages that it takes to get people who are legally in our country to do that stuff.
Yeah.
And the economy eventually, there would be a shock, but the economy would adjust to that eventually over time. And that's a healthier economy. And it's actually a moral economy as opposed to an immoral one, which we have right now.
Right. And also even allowing the market to dictate legal immigration that can come over and work and but also pay taxes and not be the, you know, underground economy that we get from illegal immigration. Again, market would, you know, the market would work that out. And of course, I mean, I usually start these immigration discussions always saying, listen, we're for immigration. We think it ought to be 1,000 times easier to come legally, and we know who you are, and you're here to work, or you're here to assimilate, or whatever, and 1,000 times harder to come illegally. That's a whole other topic. But you know, right now at the border, we talked about the politicians. We talked about what can or can't be done. We were about to talk about, you know, what more could be done. And of course, Russ and Russ Vaught, Ken Cuccinelli, those guys that you're good friends with as well. You know, they've been saying for a long time, to properly do Article 1, Section 10, you have to take a quote-unquote war footing and literally encroach on Mexican ground to push those people back across the river. And a friend of mine that's a state senator used a term the other day that I thought made perfect sense. He said, you know, really, we're going to have to essentially go in and create a green zone. We're going to have to go in and you know, American military, Texas military, whatever, create that green zone and push them back across and literally physically place them there. Because this business of just bringing them in and processing them and then let them go, and just like the whole case is based on that one day on September 20th, 4,555 that the feds helped across in there through the wire that they cut that day, and about half showed up at the processing center a mile down the road. So that's obviously not working. Talk to me about that and what the political will necessary to take those kind of steps.
Yeah, so I might even be more radical than those guys on this. I don't think there's any way to solve this permanently without military action.
Yeah,
we can create a buffer on our side of the river, on our side of the border, and that's helpful. Sealing a 1,300-mile border, very difficult. And I think, you know, he said a buffer zone. I would call it, it's like the DMZ between the Koreas.
Yeah,
there needs to be a kilometer of cleared territory that is a no man's zone. Come in here. We believe you're hostile. You have a hostile intent, and we're going to clear you out. And it needs to be that way. That would require military action, whether that's from Texas or the federal government. I would prefer it's the federal government does that. I think that we ought to acknowledge that the cartels have declared war on the United States of America. And whether they say it or not, in their actions, they've declared war on us. They control our border now. I don't know if you've seen Ben Shapiro's new special on the invasion. It's absolutely incredible. He's got a drone flying right.
I thought you were going to ask me if I saw Ben Shapiro's new rap song. I did see that. Yes, number one, by the way.
That was very good,
which
too.
He is very proud of. Yep. It's just weird, man, but it's good.
Same week, number one rap song, full-length interview with Elon Musk at Auschwitz, and the border documentary released. I don't know how he did.
Wow.
The guy doesn't sleep.
Wow.
But in one of the scenes, there's a drone flying directly above him, and he goes, oh, is that one of ours? And the Border Patrol, 24-year Border Patrol guy, said, no, that's a cartel drone. He goes, well, are you going to shoot it down?
What?
And he said, no, we're not allowed to. And he goes, what do you mean you're not allowed to? And he said, you have to get permission personally from Secretary Mayorkas to shoot down any drones. And he said, that drone's watching us because they know we're not a normal patrol, and they're trying to figure out what we're doing here, so they send a drone to check us out.
Oh, wow.
And so this is why I tell that story. He said that the cartels have operational control of the border. We don't. We're not doing that kind of stuff. They are. And so we have to get that operational control. The only way to do it is militarily. I think that the federal government ought to go in and make military strikes against the cartels. We know where they are. We know where they're headquartered. We know where their people are. We need to do it in this country in a mass coordinated fashion, because the cartels are well ensconced in this country, pretty yeah. much in every major city and most of the minor cities in this country. We need to round them up, throw them in prison, send them back to Mexico. I mean, frankly, I'm going to use a really harsh word. We need to exterminate the cartels.
Yeah.
And so that means going into Mexico. Now, people would say, well, you're violating a sovereign country's territory. Well, Mexico is not a sovereign country any longer. Mexico is a failed narco state. The federal government is not in control of their military. The federal government is not in control of their police. Their state governments are not. Their local governments, not in control of their police forces. That is a failed narco-terrorist state. And so we have to treat it as such. And I don't mind. Let's go in. Let's clean out the cartels. Let's do what has to be done. Prop up a government that is actually a government that is going to be friendly to the United States and is going to continue to work with us to limit cartel activity in Mexico. If we don't do that, we're going to have a terrorist state, which we have right now on our border forever. To me, this is like Gaza. They're invading our country. They're invading our country every day. They're killing our people.
Yeah.
And we have to go in and use maximum force to oust them, create a buffer zone along the border. If we do that, we'll have border security. It's that simple.
All right, folks, we're out of time for today. That was Mark Meckler in the Tavern talking about solutions for the border, talking about the situation there. And, of course, we get into a lot more in terms of the standoff between Texas and the feds. What's the constitutional answer to all these things? If you want to hear the whole interview, visit us over at patriotacademy.tv. That's the home for Patriot U. That's patriotacademy.tv. Or you can go to Warrior Poet Society Network. Our friend John Lovell has all kinds of great programming over there. And the Tavern is one of the programs that you can get over at Warrior Poet Society Network. Thanks for listening today. You've been listening to Wall Builders.